Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in downtown. The protesters are blocking.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 533rd edition of SDG. Folks, this is solely for the glory of God, and that's what SDG stands for. And this is Crisis Update number 46. So welcome. And then later in this message, folks, stay tuned, because we're going to tie it all into what we began last week concerning God's teaching on anger and how we can distinguish between sinful and sanctified anger. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 11, that sensible people control their temper and earn respect by overlooking wrong. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can avoid the snare of the enemy as we learn to control our sinful anger and then channel what I'm going to call sanctified anger. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And like we do every week, folks, what I'd like to do is look at something from last week's show and then update it as we revisit this crucial information. Now, you know, last week, folks, we looked at Professor Matthias Desmet's theory known as mass formation or mass hypnosis. And he defined it as a psychological condition of society necessary for totalitarianism to exist. And according to Professor Desmet, under mass formation, a population willingly sacrifices their freedom after four stages of conditioning are met. First, you need social isolation. That's what the lockdowns are all about, folks. Then a meaningless and purposelessness sets in. You know, people have been going to work for their entire careers all of a sudden say, wait a minute, I was a non-essential worker? What's up with that? And then from that meaningless and purposelessness, anxiety and discontent with no apparent or distinct cause starts to set in. I mean, you get anxious. What's my future hold? Where's this going to lead? And then ultimately, this tends to naturally follow after these first three conditions are met. And that's a frustration and even an aggression with no discernible cause. People don't know what they're mad about or why they're even mad. Now, once these four conditions are met in mass formation, once these four conditions are met, then mass formation can occur. And this allows the dictators, all these graduates from the Young Global Leaders College or school that the World Economic Forum promotes, it allows these dictators to rise up and thrive. Now, even Dr. Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology, who's been speaking out about this now, warning the world that this mRNA technology is not what everybody thinks it is. Well, Dr. Robert Malone is now going to speak on Professor Matthias Desmet's theory of mass formation. Now, this is a rather long clip. It's 13 minutes. But, folks, we are in a war. It's not a kinetic war at this point. That's what they're hoping for, because they need a front for their great reset. And there's no better excuse than a good war, whether it's a civil war or a world war. They need a kinetic war. But we are in an information war at this point. So listen to what Dr. Robert Malone has to say about Professor Desmet's mass
conversion.
Matthias Desmet. He's a psychologist. He's also a statistician. He's at the University of Ghent. So this is Belgium. He's a European, but he speaks fluent English. Many of us are very impressed by his thinking. Bobby Kennedy, for instance, has met with him personally and spoken to him about his theories, as have many of my peers. I think Matthias is onto something, and he calls it mass formation psychosis. So when he says mass formation, you can think of this equivalent to crowd. So it's crowd psychosis. That's what we're really talking about. There's easy ways to fix groupthink by just bringing in dissenting voices and making sure you give them platforms. With mass formation psychosis, this is like hypnosis. It really is hypnosis. This is what happened to the German people. If you live in Europe or you are have a relative who's a Holocaust survivor, or also if you've lived behind the Soviet Union curtain, Eastern Europe, etc. This is a fundamental problem that people have, is understanding how can, for instance, the German people who are highly educated, very liberal in the classic sense, you know, Western thinking people, how could they go so crazy, so deep into crazy land that they were doing what they did to the Jews? How could this happen to a civilized people? And this is the explanation for that. It has been a major focus of academic inquiry for decades and decades in Europe. So with what we're experiencing here, you have to have a set of preconditions. And walk with me back to, remember 2019? It seems like forever ago. The precursors for mass formation psychosis is you have to have a situation in which the population is decoupled from each other. They don't have social bonds. Everybody on their little cell phones and everything else, okay, where we're fragmented into our communities, Facebook communities and other things. Yes, there are tribes, but we're now in a situation where there's sub tribes. Everybody's fragmented. Nobody's feeling connected, okay? There's got to be a lack of sense making. The world has to somehow not make sense what's happening in the world. It just seems to be overwhelming. Things don't make sense. Remember how we were all kind of thinking this back in 2019 and we had the elections and what was going on? Clearly there's big forces at work there and nothing made sense. This leads to free-floating anxiety, which is the source of the greatest psychological pain. And my wife, for example, experiences this all the time. Many people do. So for her, she has this chronic sense of anxiety. She wakes up in the middle of the night, suddenly alerted to some thing that she's been dreaming about. So this sense of free-floating anxiety, things don't make sense. We're no longer connected to each other. And we also have free-floating discontent, that things aren't right and I don't like it very much and I'm not sure where to put my finger on it. A lot of us had this feeling. Now think about what happened when the virus broke out. The world obsessed over this virus. Suddenly, every software person in the world was an expert on molecular virology and epidemiology. I had to deal with them, you know? It just, we all suddenly became obsessive experts, spending all our time on the media trying to figure out what the heck is going on because it didn't make sense. And we're trying to protect our children and everything else. When these conditions happen and then the entire population gets focused on one thing, it forms something akin to hypnosis, where all they can think about, they're totally obsessed with that one thing. This is what happens with hypnosis, is you can hypnotize somebody and get them to focus on just one little tiny thing, and you can do surgery on them, they won't feel it. This is a fundamental phenomena of the human mind, is this ability to become hypnotized by focusing all of your attention on one small thing. Once that happens, people lose their ability to have rational thought and judgment. Even if you weren't obsessed, you had all this fear porn coming at us all the time, 24/7, through every channel. Now, was this intentional or was it just selling clicks? There's a lot of signs that there was an intentional component here, that we're sitting in a situation in which we have been actively managed psychologically by some entity that has financial benefit or power to gain from doing this. This gets to the point about global totalitarianism. But regarding mass formation psychosis, once this happens, there's two key things. Everybody gets focused. They have this fusion of their discontent, this focus on a thing, and then leaders step in that sees this moment. And when they're identified as leaders or they're promoted as leaders, and the crowd can see no evil, they can hear no evil, they can speak no evil, and those leaders can say anything. It does not have to be true, and the crowd will believe it. Furthermore, with this kind of process, mass formation psychosis that we saw in 1930s Germany, and we've seen in other situations, outside the centers, anybody who says something that is contrary to the narrative must be attacked. These situations must have a common enemy. This was well described in the 1984 book of George Orwell, where there was this constant threat of the Eurasian forces. They were nebulous. One never really knew where they were or if they were going to attack, but they were always used to drive fear in the crowd. So this crowd now that's formed as central leaders that are lying to them all the time, like Tony Fauci. And as you see, there's a narrow world in which those people that have been hypnotized in this way, you can tell them until you're blue in the face what the data are, what the facts are. You can show them video clips of Tony Fauci lying. It doesn't matter. I was in Tampa the other day, and a physician asking questions came up in the line, brokenhearted. She has many other physicians and medical professionals in her family, and she's disaffected from all of them. And she said, it doesn't matter how much information I provide to them, how many papers I provide to them, what data I provide to them, they can't hear it. And it's true. They literally can't. They are hypnotized. This has happened all over the world. It's been actively promoted. It is the consequence of all this censorship and propaganda that we've been subjected to. And when it seems to you that the rest of the world has gone mad, the truth is they have. Okay? And the question is, what can we do about it? So I spoke to Matthias about this, about where does he see this going? And it's really a bit grim. He thinks that this mass psychosis has developed to a point where the global totalitarianism is unavoidable. It will sweep over us. We're seeing it in Austria. Number one, they're locking down during the holidays. And they say, you will be vaccinated. Now, that flies in the face of the data, which shows the vaccination won't stop the spread of the virus. It doesn't matter. They will impose the vaccines on you. They're talking about doing this in Germany. They're talking about all kinds of mandates in the United States, like you say, including for the children. Think that through, okay? So this is happening, and Matthias believes that it's now to a point that it is going to progress through the population, whether we like it or not. We have to continue to try to provide information, accurate information. There's a couple things we can do. We can substitute the fear of the virus, which is irrational, for a greater threat. We can break through to people if we help them to understand that what we're seeing is a coordinated global focus on deploying a global totalitarian solution. Totalitarianism is a bigger boogeyman than the viruses by far. Losing control to Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum and BlackRock and Vanguard is a bigger threat than SARS-CoV-2 is for you or your children, by far, okay? And people can hear that. They can see it. Matthias has tested it. And you can break this fusion in their minds. If you give them something that's even of greater concern, which is loss of their freedom, when you make it clear to people that they're on the threshold of losing their rights, they get activated. So this is one topic area that a lot of people get. And often the breakthrough thing is they're going to force my kids to take the jab. And suddenly people wake up with that one also. But the problem is all those underlying things haven't been fixed. The real problem, to be blunt, is that our society is sick. It's sick in a bunch of ways. And I think the only thing that can come out of this to get us away from that, to start to heal us, is this idea of think global, act local that is behind intentional communities. Meanwhile, while all this crazy is going on in the world, the rest of us that are able to see through for whatever reason, maybe because we got fired from our job or we experienced mainstream media first person and realized how corrupt and twisted that world is, or maybe we experienced big science and all the corruption within big science in a very brutal first-person way. Things have caused some of us to be able to be a little more skeptical about what's going on in the world. So we can't get beyond this if we don't find some way to heal ourselves. And I think we got to start that healing process locally. The message that I've been trying to promote in these various speaking engagements is a message of healing, not division, and of trying to empower people to start building local community, telephone call lists, you know, work through your church, whatever your organization is, build on that. Find physicians that will administer early treatment. I think that now is the time to build local community, start to form networks with each other. We're providing information to older people who are often home alone, scared and not able to access the internet. There's a few courageous leaders politically and a lot of scared chickens. Basically, the Republican side is unified that these mandates are wrong. Now, we're having trouble breaking through the other side, but angry moms, I think, may be the thing that saves our democracy. So there is hope. But we still got a long way to go, but I think we've seen some significant progress, so I don't want to leave everybody thinking it's all doom and gloom.
Well said, Dr. Malone. You know, folks, every week I try to do my very best, each and every week, to provide you, my friends and brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and whoever else may be listening, with the very best information that I can find to keep you informed on what's really going on out there. Now, I just have one comment I have to add concerning to what Dr. Malone said. Folks, we are not a democracy. We are a republic. And I know that sounds like a tired, worn-out cliche, but there's a huge difference. A republic protects the rights of an individual, whereas a democracy overwhelms the individual. It's basically mob rule. So, folks, just keep that in mind. We are a nation of laws. As such, we need to operate according to those laws. Now, if you're a truther like I am, you may be wearing out right now. And, I mean, come on, with mass formation and this mind control and brainwashing, mass psychosis, call it whatever you want, folks. It's real. And I know at times I feel absolutely worn out, you know, dealing with the normies under this great illusion, fatigued on all sorts of levels, you know, mind, body, and spirit. But, folks, I encourage you to stay the course, because by the grace of God, we can be victorious. Folks, the grace of God is freely given to whomever repents and trusts, and then trusts and obeys. Contrary to what so many people in this truth movement, people like Mike Adams, who I truly respect, I truly do. Mike's doing a fantastic job out there. But when he speaks wrongly concerning things of heavenly matters, it just I was working in the shop the other night listening to his December 6th situation update, which had tremendously useful information concerning the Bitcoin scam and what's going on right now with Evergrande and the it's actually a crypto dollar called Tether. And it's being used right now, I think, to bring down the entire crypto world. But what I'd like to do right now, and like I said, God bless Mike and all the good work he's doing in the truth movement. But he's just plain wrong when he says that we've got to earn God's grace. So what I'd like to do, play about a minute-long clip from his December 6th podcast so that you can hear when somebody incorrectly speaks on something concerning God's grace or our path to salvation. Just listen to what Mike has to say here.
The only currency that counts, the spiritual currency. If there were a cosmic exchange, how many Bitcoin does it take to get one God coin? The answer is infinity. I mean, there is no exchange. You can't buy your way into God's good graces. You can only earn your way. You take all the Bitcoin in the world, all the Tether in the world, all the coins in the world, all the gold even, all the dollars. Nothing. It's worth nothing in God's eyes if you haven't earned his grace. And when you go along with evil, you earn a cosmic penalty. When you go along with greed, when you go along with the pharma profits, if your retirement money is in a fund that invests in the vaccine manufacturers, you are invested in evil. Seriously, you are invested in evil. Check all your funds right now. Get out of evil. Change your surroundings. Change the moral code around you.
Folks, that's enough. So again, God bless you, Mike Adams. You're doing fantastic work. But please don't speak about these things if you don't understand God's way and God's will. God's grace is his unmerited favor, folks. There's an acronym, G-R-A-C-E. Just like I say, faith is forsaking all and trusting him, that's Jesus. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Not your expense, not mine. We cannot earn God's grace. It's amazing. It's dynamic. It's there before we even knew who God was, wooing us to him. And then once he reveals himself to us, it's the same power, that same favor that gives us the strength to repent and trust and then trust and obey. So please, folks, just repent and trust and then trust and obey. Hang in there in this truth battle, because if you only get one person to look you in the eye and say, you know what, you're right, it's worth it. Remember Jesus and the parable of the one lost sheep? What did the shepherd do? He left the 99 other and went out to find that one lost sheep. So, folks, if you can wake up one person, and that one person wakes up another, and then those two wake up four, and those four wake up eight, it's a geometrical progression, folks. So do your part. Hang in there. It's worth it. Now, when this happens, never say, well, I told you so. No. Just smile. Say, praise the Lord, not me, while keeping eye contact on them. Then give them a big hug. Folks, I guarantee you, you'll feel 99.9% of your spiritual and emotional strength just return immediately. Now, physically, that's another matter. That one's on you. If you're feeling weak and tired in your body, you're the only one that can remedy that. And that can be remedied, but that's by a healthy lifestyle. You are what you eat. You know, you got to get good rest. You got to put good stuff in, garbage out. So truthfully, take care of yourselves. And that's my point. So anyways, I think it's becoming fairly evident now that this is a global psyop on a massive scale. And since that appears to be the case, what I'd like to do is reintroduce you to the classic by Stephen Jacobson on mind control. And I want to replay part one, which is 5 minutes long, and then, provided the Lord's willing, over these next maybe 7 or 8 weeks, I'd like to go through this classic just like we did Wake Up America on the money system. So here's Stephen Jacobson on Mind Control in America.
Psychological warfare has been waged against America for much of this century. This war for the mind of the public has been facilitated by the emergence of mass media and the transformation of American education by behavioral psychologists. In the book 1984, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their human qualities and freedom of mind without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation. Mind control. Mind control in America. The most effective way to protect yourself from subconscious manipulation is by being aware of how it works. What the conscious mind believes, the subconscious acts on. It works like programming a computer. Information is fed into a computer, and the computer acts on it. However, if the information fed into the computer is wrong, it still acts on it. If a person believes something that is not true, the memory banks of the subconscious mind do not correct the error, but act on it. The theory of cognitive dissonance holds that the mind automatically and involuntarily rejects information not in line with previously accepted thoughts and beliefs. Many of the things that people believe are never questioned, especially when the information has come from a reliable source. It becomes easy to lose sight of why people believe some of the things that they do.
Unser Führer, Adolf Hitler, dich, dich, dich.
People can be led to believe something that is not true when that information is carefully timed and presented by an accepted and respected authority. The purpose of propaganda is to direct public attention to certain facts.
The whole art consists in doing this so skillfully that everyone will be convinced that the fact is real,
wrote Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. To be effective, propaganda must constantly short-circuit all conscious thinking and operate on the individual subconsciously. The principles behind the big lie of propaganda are the same principles of mind control, hypnotic suggestion, mental programming, distraction, and repetition. Distraction focuses the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the five senses in order to stop conscious thinking, thus producing a state of mind that is similar to daydreaming. Think of the times you have caught yourself staring blankly at the television screen, losing all sense of time and place. When you stop conscious thinking and your mind goes blank, this is the hypnotic state of mind. This altered state occurs naturally, but can also be induced by clever manipulation. Think of the times you have seen flashing words in TV commercials. The flashing words are a distraction for your eyes to lock onto in order to induce hypnosis. The purpose of this is to reduce any resistance to the message by stopping all thought and analysis. Watching television often produces an altered state of consciousness. Though not consciously perceived, the television screen, while appearing static, actually flickers. Any repeating light or sound pattern can lead you into an altered state. A hypnotist uses pattern speech by varying the pacing and inflection of his voice to induce this state of mind in his subject. It is in this state of mind where one is the most receptive to mental programming. Whether or not the information takes hold in the mind depends on two factors: trust in the source of the information and repetition of the message. Trust in the source of the information induces acceptance of the message as true even if it is not understood. Repetition of the message embeds it in the subconscious so that acceptance of its truth and accuracy becomes a conditioned response. Thus, this information will be accepted as true without thinking about it whenever it is presented again.
There you have it, folks. Straight, plain, and simple. Mind control is real. So stay the course. And I want to mention one line he had in that. Any repeating light or sound pattern can produce an altered state. Now, keep that in mind, especially the sound pattern, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show. But right now, folks, it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, let's get started with the coronavirus heist. We need to do, folks. Non-compliance. Just say no. I've been saying that since April of 2020 when I realized what this was. So this just out from the Daily Expose in the United Kingdom. Fully vaccinated account for 9 in every 10 COVID-19 deaths since August 2021, according to the latest official data. You see this happening all around the world. We even see it in some blue states. New York just issued a statewide mask mandate. The governor did this. And you scratch your head and you say, why? And in fact, it now comes with a $1,000 fine for noncompliance. And I can't wait to see how that holds up in court. So the authorities all around the world, you know, the graduates of the Young Global Leaders School founded by the World Economic Forum, these totalitarian dictators are slowly tightening the noose again. And they're doing this with the British public in response to this alleged Omicron. Now, we talked about Omicron last week. And by the way, there's a really good interview that Mike Adams did with a gentleman who talked about the fact that this word Omicron is actually a trigger word for mind control victims. And there are so many programs on that. We're going to get into that a little bit later. You know, the MK Ultra, that was just the tip of the iceberg, folks. The government has been looking at ways to chemically and behaviorally modify people since World War II and even before. Did you know that? Now, once again, they're using fear to stir the pot, fear that Omicron may evade the current COVID-19 vaccines. Well, wake up. Hey, the problem actually is that the so-called Delta variant had been evading these vaccines for the past 3 months. You know, since August 2021, the fully vaccinated have actually accounted for 9 out of every 10 COVID deaths. Did you know that? This is data from the Public Health Scotland, PHS. They publish these weekly reports, and it includes data on cases, hospitalizations, and deaths by vaccination status. And the report includes data over a period of 4 weeks, and the latest statistics were published by PHS on December 1st, 2021, and they included data on cases and hospitalizations between October 30th and November 26th, and data on deaths, between the 23rd of October and the 19th of November. So when you look at all this information, you see that this is actually not a pandemic of anything but the fully vaccinated, at least since August. Folks, does this strike any nerve in you? You remember what Biden said?
We are not fully out of the woods yet, because what is happening in America right now is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Let me say that again. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
No, that's a bald-faced lie. Folks, the science is in, and it proves that these new restrictions have nothing to do with the worry that some new variant like Omicron may impact the effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines. No, the science is in now, and it's proving that the jabs don't work. And instead of being some sort of public health measure, this is a control grid, a global control grid being implemented for the Great Reset, where we're going to be on a global plantation. We're all going to be feudal serfs serving the 1%. We'll own nothing, and they will make us be happy. Folks, there's enough evidence out there now to prove that these jabs are both ineffective and deadly. And folks, that's the truth. Now, here's another funeral director. His name is John O'Looney. He's from the United Kingdom. And I'd like to play his update from December 6th. You know, when you think about it, funeral directors actually process the death certificate, so they get to see what's on it. And listen to what John O'Looney has to say in his December 6th update.
Hi, guys. So just a quick update from me. For those of you who don't know me, my name's John. I'm a funeral director based in Milton Keynes. I run a funeral home called Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services. And a quick search online for that will find me and verify who I am. So many of you will know me. So I'll just give you an update as to where we are at this time, and it is the 6th of December 2021. So what we're seeing is a large number, an unnaturally large number of deaths due to heart attack, stroke, aneurysm, and these are all as a direct result of thrombosis, embolisms, in the lungs, the legs, various places that's causing these deaths. And these are well documented by the local coroners. These are well documented across the country. Nobody seems to be concerned by the alarming rise in them, you know. I used to see a blood clot very, very rarely, and now I've seen more this year than I have in the previous 14, to give you an idea. I've written to the Chief Coroner of England. He isn't concerned. I've had no response for weeks and weeks, and then I had an email from his secretary saying he's not interested. There you go. This is the guy who's supposed to be protecting us from harm. So we're seeing those deaths. The other type of death that I'm seeing, which is more distressing for me personally, is people who are getting sick now as their immune systems finally give up. So they've had the jabs maybe 6-8 months ago, and it's been eating away at their immune system, and now they're struggling to fight off things like the common cold. So we're in winter, and as you'll be aware, there are colds and flus about in this time of the year. These people can't fight it off, and the government are very quick to label it Omicron, a new variant, you know, and they are sick, but they're sick with basic things like the common cold. Their immune systems are decimated, and if you think about it logically, much like, for example, a cancer patient. So when you get a cancer patient and they're on chemotherapy, it decimates their immune system, and one of the things that they have to be extremely careful of is, because they've got no immune system, a basic common cold or a flu can kill them. And this is what we're seeing now in these jab recipients across up and down the country. They're becoming extremely ill, really, really ill. And the saddest thing is they're actually convinced that if they'd have had the jab, it would have, you know, lessened that illness. So, for example, I've got a couple of friends. I've known them for a long time. Very intelligent guy. Logical thinker. Him and his wife are both in jabs. She's had one, he's had both. He's bitterly desperate now. He's desperate to get the booster because he feels so terribly ill. He thinks that will make him feel better. You know, what do you say to these people? Because they just won't believe it. They feel terribly ill. His wife is saying how she's desperate now. She's had one jab, wishes she'd had the second. She's desperate to get the second, can't get booked up quick enough. I tried to explain, this is what is killing you. This is killing you. It's damaging your immune system. All you've got is a common cold. And I said to him, look, I will come over. I'll bring you whatever you need. I will kiss you on the lips because I'm in no danger of falling sick because I have an immune system that's protecting me as a guy who hasn't been jabbed. These people, you know, it was well documented on the Georgia Guidestones and other places what would happen. These people are going to willingly walk over the cliff begging for more. I really don't know what else I can say. So that's, you know, we're nearly 12 months in now from when the first jabs went into people. So their immune systems will be falling apart now. That's the reality, and that's what I'm seeing. You know, neighbours getting sick and ill and having Amazon deliveries because they have to isolate. They can't get out. because their immune systems have fallen over, and it's winter, and it's cold season, and they can't cope with the cold anymore in the same way a cancer patient with a decimated immune system can't. I wish I knew the answer. You know, what can I do? What can I do to convince people what is actually happening to them? You know, I really don't know, but I'm seeing it. I know it's happening. This is when I went for the meeting in September to Westminster. The scientists there said exactly what was happening. Lo and behold, this is what's happening. You know, these people are getting sick and dying, as I said all along, you know. Now is the time I'm starting to wait for the phone calls to come in from family and friends. And it's frightening, isn't it? You know, and I do wonder if these people will fall over and die still thinking it's convinced it's COVID, you know, and blaming anti-vaxxers. You know, you're a terrible danger if it wasn't for you, you know. You know, what can you say? What can you say? All I can do, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink. And I've told these people what would happen to them if they took these jabs, and they haven't listened. Many have, and I just want to say a big thank you to the thousands and thousands of people who have been in touch by email, phone calls, that have visited me with so much love and support. You know, it's a wonderful, humbling experience. What, you know, telling me how brave I am. I don't feel brave. All I've done is care. I've just cared, and I still care, and I can't turn that care off. So for anyone that's watching, you know, if you've had your jabs and you've been protected, but you're still really, really ill, and you've got COVID and you're having to isolate, this is why. It's because these jabs are decimating your immune system. The other type are the blood clots. They're the quick killers. And we've seen plenty of those as well. So please, please, please don't take any more of these jabs. It's killing you. It's killing you. And lining up for more jabs when you're desperately ill already isn't the answer. It really isn't the answer. Take a step back. Just look a little bit deeper than the BBC and Google are telling you. The jabs are what are making you ill. The Omicron is vaccine injury. They're nothing more than that. Will you believe it? I really don't know. Time will tell, I guess. Time will tell. But that's where we are in December of 2021. We're exactly where the scientists told me we would be, sadly. I just hope that people listen. I hope that people listen, because if they don't, they're going to get sick and they're going to die. That's the reality. You will die if you keep taking these jabs. And, you know, oh, bless you. Bless you. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Never a truer word spoken.
Lots of good information there, folks. It's so good that all different walks of life, from doctors like Dr. Malone and Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Peter McCullough, people in media like Del Bigtree, people in the funeral industry like the man we just listened to, John O'Looney, and the other funeral director from a few weeks ago, people in academia like Dolores Cahill. Over a year ago, we played her warning based on her knowledge of this type of technology and what it did in the first clinical trials they did back in 2012, where it created the cytokine storm in the ferrets, and then after exposure to the pathogen, death. Folks, it's what we're seeing now. You know, the standard of care when you get diagnosed with COVID is to go home, isolate, and if you get sick and you think you're going to die, come back to the hospital so we can kill you. And that's basically what it is, folks. There is no treatment for those early diagnosed. The only treatment they have is the ventilator with the remdesivir, which kidney failure, and buildup of fluid in the lungs, which basically drowns you. Then we've got Joe Rogan. Thank you, Dr. Rogan. You know, I would like to play a clip right now of Dana White. He's the president of the World Wrestler Federation, you know, the WrestleMania and all that stuff. Well, he's a personal friend of Joe Rogan's, and I'd like to play this clip where Dana White gives his account of what happened to him after he was diagnosed, him and his family, including his 80-year-old mother. Listen to what Dana White shares with Joe Rogan.
How are you feeling, Dana? This is a question on everybody's mind. We were worried about you.
I'm incredible. Today is day 5, testing positive for COVID. And today, this morning at 9 o'clock, I tested negative. Thank you, Dr. Joe Rogan.
Wait, is it time we actually give Joe Rogan his medical license? He got Aaron Rodgers healthy in like 2 days.
And himself. He did it himself and like 40 other people that he's close to, he's done this with. So, and here's the reality, in all seriousness. Joe Rogan is a brilliant guy, and he talks to the most brilliant people out there. He studies, he does his homework on all this stuff, and, you know, it's a fact that this works, and not just me. So me and my wife are both 53 years old. We both did it. My daughter is 15 years old. She did it. My mother-in-law is 80 years old. She did it. When I was just sitting here waiting to talk to you, my mother-in-law went strolling by here. She's on her way over to get a massage. Everybody feels like $1 million, man. So Sunday, I was in the steam. It was like 8 o'clock, and I sprayed eucalyptus. I couldn't smell.
You knew right, you know you had it right away?
Yeah, and I said, oh, shit. I know what this is. Literally got out of the steam room. I called Joe Rogan. Rogan said, tomorrow morning, do this. First of all, test and make sure you're positive for COVID. Did that, and then he said, first thing that you do is get the monoclonal antibodies.
Right.
Get the injection. Then do an NAD drip. Then tomorrow, get up and take the ivermectin, the dose of ivermectin, and then another vitamin drip, and you do the NAD and vitamin every other day till you're negative. Right.
Wow.
The next day at 11 o'clock, I had my taste and smell back.
No way.
Yeah. So Monday, I did what Rogan told me to do. Tuesday, I had my taste and smell back.
Right,
I know people that have had COVID, and it's been weeks or months and still don't have their taste or smell back. This thing works. Now, what doesn't make sense to me is, here's the alternative, right? If you're like, okay, I there's no way I'd ever do this, why, I don't know, but whatever, then talk to your doctor. And you know what your doctor says? Go isolate yourself in a room for 10 days away from everybody. And if you start to die, then go to the hospital.
Right. Right. No thanks.
How about we throw the kitchen sink at this
right.
fucking thing from day one and beat it? So I did what he said. Been doing it all along. Me and my family have felt great. And day 5, I tested negative for COVID.
That's incredible. And
there you have it, folks. Did you know there's over 200 active clinical studies right now looking at the efficacy of ivermectin? There are entire states in India which have eradicated COVID by the use of ivermectin. There's a Zalewski protocol. My sister's testimony, the ivermectin, 2 days later she was better. They wanted to admit her because she had the she had the lung damage. They were talking about a respirator. She said no. My sister is a registered nurse with 38 years of experience, and she knows what happens. And by the way, folks, she couldn't get her prescribed ivermectin, so her husband, my brother-in-law, got her some of the horse dewormer, and after 2 doses, she completely reversed. Folks, I'm telling you, this works. Now, there's even an NIH report out on ivermectin. It's titled The Review of Emerging Evidence Demonstrating the Efficacy of Ivermectin in the Prophylaxis and Treatment of COVID-19. Folks, you can actually use ivermectin as a prophylactic, as a protection against even catching COVID. Yet it's being besmirched and belittled by the mainstream media. You have to ask yourself, oh, and by the way, it's not just ivermectin that's working. Vitamin D3 is also showing incredible results. So the goal here is to keep your blood serum levels of vitamin D3 above 50 nanograms per milliliter, I believe the concentration is. It's 50. I'm just not sure of the units. I'd like to play a 2-minute and 55-second clip from last week's High Wire where they discuss the findings on vitamin D and its efficacy in preventing COVID deaths.
Look at this study here. This is a study. It's called COVID-19 mortality risk correlates inversely with vitamin D3 status. These are the results of a systematic review to meta-analysis. So these researchers were looking at all the available data out there, all the available research, and this is what they looked at. This is the background of the study they wrote. Much research shows that blood D3 levels correlate strongly with SARS-CoV-2 infection severity. There is an open discussion regarding whether low D3 is caused by the infection or if deficiency negatively affects immune defense. So they found here, now this is the point that should be on every headline. Regression suggested a theoretical point of zero mortality at approximately 50 nanograms a milliliters of D3. That's the blood levels. And
wow.
They concluded the data sets provide strong evidence that low D3 is a predictor rather than just a side effect of the infection. Despite ongoing vaccinations, we recommend rising serum 25OHD levels. That's basically the major circulating form of vitamin D in the body.
Yep.
We recommend raising serum 25OHD levels to above 50 nanograms per milliliter to prevent or mitigate new outbreaks due to escape mutations or decreasing antibody activity.
Wow. So the question there was, is the D3 disappearing because of the virus, or did you not have enough and that's why you caught it? And what they came to the determination was that it appears that low D3 levels made you vulnerable to severe disease. And they're saying, and I know they're very careful to say, we're not saying it's a cure, but it looks like anybody that had vitamin D levels above that 50 nanograms per liter did not die. It took away any risk of dying from this virus. So folks, you know, we try to give you information out there. A lot of you ask, what do I do? What do I do in this world where the vaccine is pressuring and is creating more and more variants that may be more dangerous for everybody? Well, here you know, and let's make it clear, we're not saying vitamin D is a cure, but it does appear if you want to really up your chances of having a good outcome when you do finally, you know, your immune system gets down or maybe somehow you come in contact with this, obviously having high vitamin D levels above 50 nanograms is where you want to be to have the best success. That's something we can all do. You can go out and get a blood test today based on this study. And what does it hurt? It may not protect you. I'm not saying that you're never going to catch it. But what does it hurt if the science is showing us if you're at those levels, you have a really good chance of survival? I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. If you like that clip, then be sure to check out our live broadcast of The High Wire every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch it on iTunes.
So there you have it, another way to keep your body healthy. But let's end this segment on a humorous note now. Have you heard the new ditty that's out there? It's called the Bill Gates Fever. Take a listen.
If you'd like to serenade the American Journal audience this morning with a nice live rendition of the classic Bill Gates Fever, Ben De Laurentiis with Bill Gates Fever.
Thank you. Do a little country style, maybe.
Gotta get me that government needle. Gotta get me that Fauci jab. Think I'm coming down with the Bill Gates fever. They let it out of that Wuhan lab. Gotta pledge allegiance to the man of science. He forgot to mention vitamin D. Ask too many questions and you'll wind up crazy. Just relax and roll up your sleeves. Spare me your conspiracy. My government wants what's best for me. Seen it all through history. My government wants what's best for me. How dare you bring up Tuskegee? My government wants what's best for me. My government knows what's best for me. My government wants what's best for me.
And so now let's move on, folks. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer. CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer. ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer. Making a Difference, brought to you by Pfizer. CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front,
brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
So just a little more humor, folks, but this time it was humor with a purpose. The reason you haven't heard these reports on either ivermectin or vitamin D3 from the mainstream media, you know, the fake news, is because they're bought and paid for by Big Pharma. And by the way, folks, I don't get a dime from anyone to do this. You know the reason I do this, folks. SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, solely for the glory of God. But folks, we have to keep moving right now. It's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. Japanese, means Japanese. Ka means salt. Boo means dance. He means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flattened curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, you know, I've been saying for a while that the lines between the coronavirus heist, you know, the scamdemic, the plandemic, are being blurred with Kabuki Theater. When this all started, you had the scamdemic on one side, then you had Kabuki Theater with the discontent and all that was leading up to the election 2020 steal, where they were having riots, mostly peaceful protests, you know, where the reporter standing there and behind him there's buildings burning, his entire city blocks are burnt down. Oh, and by the way, those were in all the economic development zones, very close to Federal Reserve banks, which were bought up by the billionaires after the fires. Oh, isn't that interesting? But have you heard this one? The FDA is doubling down and now asking the federal judge that just said they had to release the Pfizer documents if they could have till the year 2096 to fully release Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine data. Aaron Seary on his Substack page, and you can go there and read about it. But in a prior post, he was explaining how the FDA asked a federal judge to make the public wait until 2076 to disclose the data. You know, the information that the FDA reviewed in 108 days, I believe it was, to allow the emergency use of the COVID-19 jab. So they are literally asking for a 55-year delay for information that the FDA reviewed in 108 days before we, the people, can look at the information that we paid to have validated. So let me get this straight. The federal government gives Pfizer billions of dollars in taxpayer money. Then the federal government makes the American public, we the people, take this unknown product, but it protects Pfizer from any and all liabilities, and then it even shields disclosure of their findings through this crazy FOIA loophole where they're only going to release 500 documents, what is it, a day or a month? Folks, that's weird.
My government wants what's best for me. My government knows what's best for me. My government wants what's best for me.
That's 1984, folks. Now, here's how the mainstream media covered the story. That's right, folks. Anytime I want to know whether or not the mainstream media is covering the story, I just ask my mother-in-law, and she heard nothing about this. And she's an avid viewer of CNN, MSNBC, and all the other stations out there, including Fox. So she didn't hear anything about it. But then Snopes comes out with a facts check and says, well, there's nothing to see here, folks. 500 pages per month is normal. That's what they always release. Well, these aren't normal times, folks. And we aren't talking about just some document that may have an impact on the budget. We're talking about human lives here. Now, there's this push right now by the mainstream media to cover up vax damage, and the media outlets all around the world are pushing a new cause of heart attacks. Are you ready for this? Global warming, or I should say climate change. And the driver here is that cold weather can cause heart attacks. Sorry about that, folks. I bumped my mute button. The drive here is that media outlets are pushing this meme now that cold weather can cause heart attacks. There are several big media outlets and ad companies posting signage on public transit buses, and CNN even pushing this, publishing stories on how cold weather can increase blood clots and cause heart attacks. What they're doing is they're prepping the public for the damage that's caused by the COVID vaccines. Government agencies have begun issuing press releases, and large media outlets are running with them, announcing things, and this was from The Sun, a newspaper in the UK, and I'm going to read this quote. Sudden changes in temperature cause thermal stress for the body, which has to work harder to maintain its constant temperature. In particular, research has shown this makes it more likely for people to suffer from dangerous blood clots during the winter. And in the U.S., the media giant MSNBC issued a story and quoted Dr. Naveen Chandra, warning of heart attacks in cold weather. There are increased cases of heart attacks during winter. It is necessary to take preventative measures in winter, especially for people at high risk of developing a heart attack. Can you believe this craziness, folks? I can go on and on with this, but I'm going to tell you what this is. This is predictive programming. And why this sudden onslaught of stories telling the public that cold weather can cause heart conditions and heart-related deaths? Well, could it be that the jab, the root cause of all this, needs to be covered up? Folks, there is an abnormally high level of these sorts of deaths occurring right now in children all the way up to the elderly, but primarily in the younger people. And I'm telling you, there's a very rich, powerful people with psychotic minds. They're control freaks, and they think there are simply too many people on the earth, and the herd has to be thinned out, so to speak, to prevent climate change and save the planet. So these extremely rich demoniacs, as I'll call them, are deliberately engineering disease, and then they come out with their solution. In fact, we're going to hear from Glenn Beck, as he was on the Tucker Carlson show. This is dark, and this was pre-planned, premeditated, folks. You know, the truth is that the major media outlets are pouring on these stories right now about the blood clots and the heart attacks and cold weather to cover up the root cause. And what about airline pilot deaths? Have you heard this? Up over 1,000% since 2019. Yeah, folks, this isn't fairy stories or anything. This stuff's real. It's real. In 2019, there was one death of a pilot, an active commercial airline pilot. In 2020, there were six. And in 2021, after the mandatory jabs, there were 117.
Really?
Yes, Elvin, really. It's happening, folks. And we're being told that there's nothing to see here, folks. Can you believe this? Crazy. And then it even gets worse. There's this huge effort right now underway to normalize medical and health problems in children caused by the COVID vaccines. It's outright propaganda. I have a picture that I posted on my Twitter account of a bus going by, which says, and I can't believe this, I'm just numb looking at this. They make light of children having strokes, heart attacks, and getting Bell's palsy. Side effects from these jabs. They're pushing this on society right now. And in addition to the bus signs, there's propaganda coming out from Sesame Street being pushed by CNN. Sesame Street's Big Bird is teaching kids about myocarditis. And how about using Sesame Street's Cookie Monster to explain away Bell's palsy? Folks, I'm not making this up. It's out there. Or how about this little gem? Sesame Street's Elmo trying to normalize heart attacks in children. Folks, this is sick. It really is. And it shows the level of sheer depravity in people who are pushing these COVID vaccines and the people who support forced vaccines under threats of job loss or imprisonment like they're doing in Australia and New Zealand now and Austria. Folks, these leaders are void, totally void of conscience. They're even stooping to propagandize children now and prepare them for heart attacks and strokes that they're going to suffer after they get jabbed. You know, in Germany after World War II, the Nuremberg Tribunal tried this man named Julius Steicher. He was a newspaper publisher. And what was his crime against humanity? He merely depicted Jews in a dehumanized form. And it was charged against him that he cleared the way for the Holocaust. And what are they doing with the unvaxxed right now, folks? Folks, I'm telling you, what we need right now is a Nuremberg II. We need to set this up, start to arrest these perpetrators, and put them on trial. Now, I'm talking about all the politicians who have pushed these vaccines, all the public health officials who have lied to we the people about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines. You know, the CDC leaders, the NIH, the state-level health officials, and all the business owners of the big tech executives and their boards of directors who extorted their employees, you know, no jab, no job, to take these experimental death jabs or lose their job. And how about all the school officials? How about out in, I think it's the Los Angeles School District, they're actually vaccinating children. They're conning them with a cookie. And the parents don't even know. So these people need to be brought up on charges, Nuremberg-type charges. And after a proper trial, if convicted legally and lawfully, they should all be hung by their necks publicly until they're dead. I know this may sound harsh, folks. But every single one of them needs to be held accountable. So start making your list of local officials in your area that may need to be tried in a Nuremberg II-type trial. And remember, no anger, no violence. We do this legally and lawfully. We, the people, have the power, folks. But right now, EU is trying to actually wipe out the Nuremberg.
What?
Yeah, Paul. They are actually actively now in a legislative body over in the EU trying to eliminate the Nuremberg Code. But, folks, we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. But I don't see her. Where are you at, Henrietta? You around here anywhere? There she is. There she is. I stay on the paper, Henrietta. You know, she's not housebroken and I have to bring her over here for these shows and then get her back to the coop. But anyways, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that this segment is where we cover prepping and survival skills. Now, I've learned these basics that I share with you over 30 years ago while a member of CAGI and doing research for William Cooper's Hour of the Time show. Now, I've told you before that Michelle Moore was the author of Oklahoma City Day One, and she was my station chief. And God rest her soul. But Michelle and Cooper taught me a lot about this. And what I'd like to talk about today is escape, how to evade trackers and tracking dogs. And today we're just going to talk about how to evade a tracking dog. And I found this article over at the Organic Prepper. It was written by Kit Arthur, an expert in this area. But, you know, Kit's work is very good. But I found some parallels to things as a child that I did. In fact, Kit used to track deer, and I did the same thing as a child. We had probably 200 or 300 acres of woods behind our house, and I'd go down there and track deer. And then one day I realized if I could track deer, I could probably be tracked. And so then I started to look at how I tracked deer. And then I started to realize how I could give signs and signals to both, you know, bloodhounds or trackers to follow me in the woods. Now, this is a very valuable toolkit that everybody should have, and it's called Siri. Survive, escape, resist, and evade. And in this current climate, you or one of your family members could be hunted down today for noncompliance. They're doing it right now with the Aboriginals in Australia. So I wanted to share with you a few tips on how to evade a tracking dog and ultimately avoid capture and a jab if it comes to that. Now, I know this may sound fantastic, you know, fantasy land, but would you, 2 years ago, would you have thought we were talking about face mask mandates and lockdowns? So folks, I encourage you to develop your survival skills. And what I'd like to do is just share a couple practical ways to evade tracking dogs. So picture that there's a trained tracking dog and he's been shown your scent from a piece of your clothing or whatever. Now, when a dog smells, you can almost picture the scent as a red fog that just hovers over the ground where you just walked by. And that'll help you understand how to evade a tracking dog. And I learned this probably 25 years ago out here on the property. We used to raise and sell AKC registered Labrador retrievers. And I had one, my first one was named Ruby. And Ruby and I were very close. And I'd take hikes, you know, we have, there's hundreds of acres out here where I live, and we own quite a few. We bought 104 acres back in 1985. So I'd be out hiking and I could lose my dog. And if I applied some of these principles I'm going to share with you right now, my dog couldn't find me. And I could be sitting right there in camouflage and my dog would go right past me. So there's a couple things that you can understand to evade a tracking dog and do it very well. Now, when the wind's moving at about 3 to 5 miles per hour, that's a gentle breeze, your scent will travel with the wind at about 15 yards of movement. Now, a stiff wind's going to move your scent, you know, a stiff wind's like between 20 and 30. It's going to move your scent as far as 200 yards downwind from where you actually are. So you always want to be moving into the wind to evade a tracking dog. That's the point. And if there's a wind above 30 miles an hour, so if it's a very windy day when the front's moving through, forget it. A tracking dog will never find you. Now, if you can't do that, if you can't rely on the wind to mask your direction of movement, what you can do is called scent masking. And the goal there is to get as much space between you and the tracking dog as you can, as quickly as you can, and then start moving in a spiral, in an outward motion until you create a spiral or a circle that's about 50 to 100 yards in diameter. And that's called scent massing. So the dog's going to find your trail to this point where you scent masked, going to just smell in every direction and find no clear trail and simply give up. Now, just a side note, when you exert yourself, your body gets hot. You begin to sweat. And any of the scent that's on your flesh, your clothing, you know, from the detergent and the fabric softener, all these scents, these different odors that make up your scent that the dog's tracking will come off at a higher level or a greater density. So as soon as you can, slow down and cool off. That's the point. So that's scent massing. So we've looked at what the wind can do, how you can scent mass, and then there's also scent masking. And this is very simple to achieve. There's two ways to do it. First, you can put one of those plastic rain ponchos over you. Walk about 50 yards in any random direction after you've put the poncho on and simply sit down and remain still and quiet. And when you do that, you've basically taken your unique scent and put it in a Ziploc bag, and that's scent masking. Another way you can do it is to change your clothing, but who has a change of clothing? Or rub yourself down with the native soil. Or better yet, some deer droppings. And I know that sounds gross, but what happens is you mask your scent and then the dog smells something else and it's not directed to follow that scent. Now, here's one more side note. If you can smell someone else without the aid of a dog, you're within 25 yards or less of that person. So if they have a unique fabric softener on their clothing or a unique cologne and you can smell it, they're no further than 75 feet away from you right now. And what I would do is I would look into the wind if there's a wind blowing, or I'd just start working out in a circular pattern. Now, unfortunately, what works for dogs won't work for human trackers. And next week, we're going to continue with that. And I'm going to give you some tips on how you can evade a human tracker. But right now, folks, I have to keep moving. It's getting late, and it's time for our hopium. And where are you, hopium? There you are, the hopium report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on hopium.
Now, in the past, I've regulated the hopium news to the stolen 2020 election, but this one relates to the scamdemic, and it's epic. Now, it's true, but will anything be done about it? This is huge, and this is the interview that Tucker Carlson did with Glenn Beck. And here Glenn Beck, and he was on Tucker's show back on Wednesday night, and he discussed the many actions taken by Fauci and all of his cohorts before the China virus came out and hit the U.S. in early 2020. And Beck goes back to Dr. Ralph Baric and some of the work Baric was doing with Moderna before the announcement in early 2020 for a vaccine. And then Baric has all sorts of sick associations with the bat doctor or the bat lady from the Wuhan lab. But what I'd like to do is just play this clip from Glenn Beck on Tucker Carlson concerning the scamdemic. Now, this is a 6-minute clip. Just listen to what Glenn Beck has to say.
Appropriate responses. Glenn Beck, our old friend, the host of the Glenn Beck radio program, of course. He joins us tonight on the story. Glenn, thanks so much for coming on. So you're a parent. How would you respond to something like this?
I file a lawsuit with the teachers union myself. I can't believe what's going on, Tucker. It is completely out of control. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they pushing this like this? What do they have to gain? Because it's not our health. I really don't believe that. Well, certainly not in the case of children, where there is a demonstrated and actual risk. It's not, you know, not to every child, but there is, correct, very little risk from coronavirus. So this is like crazy. So you've done some reporting on this, on some of the incentives we may not be aware of behind these drugs.
Yeah.
If you'll tell us what you found.
So this is a 2-hour chalkboard that is condensed into about 4 minutes. So if you want to see the whole thing, it's at FauciLied.com. But I'll try not to sound crazy and tie this together. Gain of function, which Fauci says never happened, happened in November of 2015. It happened with Dr. Barrett. It was a published paper, November 2015. The USAID and Fauci with EcoHealth, were funding it. It was happening with the Wuhan people. So we know that. But what you may not know is in November, the same month that published paper comes out, the United States begins a partnership with Moderna, and they are searching for mRNA coronavirus vaccines. Kind of a weird coincidence, but wait, it gets worse. In this time, we skip to 2018, DARPA receives a proposal from Dr. Baric, U.S. guy, Dr. Shi from Wuhan, and Peter Daszak from EcoHealth, and DARPA sees this and says, this is far too dangerous, we're rejecting your proposal. We don't know what happened from there, but we do know just about 12 months later in Wuhan, where Peter Daszak, Dr. Shi, the Bat Lady, and Dr. Baric were all doing research on coronaviruses. About a year later, there's an outbreak, and the outbreak actually begins, according to documents that we have that have been smuggled out of China, that there were 10 hospitals involved by October with patients that we now know are corona-like virus symptoms. They didn't know what was going on. Now, that was in October. Remember, we didn't know anything about this in December. We were starting to get rumblings. China said there was some sort of an outbreak on December 31st. But Dr. Baric signs a government deal with Moderna. I want to read it exactly to you. This deal was made. It's confidential. It's 158 pages long. It is, if I skip to page 104, they are entering a specific private confidential agreement. The NIH appears to be transferring technology to Dr. Barrick, but what they're making clear is, quote, mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates developed and jointly owned by NIAID and Moderna. Now, this is weird because it's 2 weeks later that we know there's a problem. They signed that deal 2 weeks before, and they signed it with the doctor who happened to be a partner with the bat lady in Wuhan. Here's where it gets really dark. These are the same group of people that in the end of January begin to have meetings, and they shut down and begin to smear anyone who's looking into the lab leak theory. They establish that's not true. Don't even look there. It appears to be collusion. We've passed this on to several people in Congress and the Senate. We know Rand Paul is on this, and Dr. Fauci has some answers to give.
Well, I just want to affirm what you're saying. You're the reporting, the amazing reporting you've done on this. Here's a clip of the recently departed NIH director, Francis Collins, admitting on camera that the U.S. government has a stake in the vax. Watch this.
Who's going to own this vaccine? Is the federal government own it?
One of the vaccines, the one that's furthest along, was started actually at the federal government and our own vaccine research center at NIH, and then worked with a biotechnology company called Moderna to get to where we are now with very impressive phase one results and getting ready to go into a large-scale trial as early as July. That one, of course, we do have some particular stake in the intellectual property.
This just you are not making this up. What you're saying is true? Really quickly, why is this not a front page story everywhere?
All of the documents, we spent about a year on this with people like Charles Rixley from Drastic, with Judicial Watch. They were all FOIA'd. These are documents that prove beyond, I think, any kind of reasonable doubt. Something very wrong is happening here. Moderna had been turned down for any kind of vaccine research by everyone publicly over and over again. And now this test is being done on our children. This is the only time that anybody will admit they were doing any kind of testing on coronavirus research for a vaccine with Moderna.
It's just beyond belief. And I'm glad someone is saying this out loud. Glenn Beck, I appreciate your reporting on this. Thank you. It's great to see you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Tucker.
Folks, if that's not enough to get you angry, you may not be breathing. So it's very crucial that we understand how to control our anger and channel our sanctified or righteous anger for useful purposes. And that's what we're going to wrap this message up. But right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, for years, we've been covering strange noises and strange sounds. We did it all the way back on Tribulation Now in 2010. But then, a few weeks ago, I started to hear what's known as the hum. I was cleaning up the kitchen one night after dinner, and we had a movie we were watching on Netflix on pause. And I thought I heard a very low-pitched hum coming from the sound system. So I went over and I'm putting my ear by the speakers. And Terry said, what are you doing? And I said, can't you hear that hum, real low frequency hum? I think there's something with our sound system. And she goes, Ken, there's no sound. So I shut it off and the hum was still there. And I just started to listen for it. And I thought it was maybe some equipment in the house or something. And then one day I was outside doing some chores and I heard the hum outside. And then I started noticing it in bed at night. And then I heard it up at the plant, in certain areas of the plant, over all the noise that typical factories have in terms of machines running and fans and motors. I heard this hum. So I went out and I started to research it. And I found this clip. It's about a 5-minute clip. Now, this man has a British accent. So when he says hum, hum, he's actually saying hum. But just listen to him. He gives a very good account of what they're trying to understand this hum to be.
Hey, 42 here. Do you ever hear a noise? Not a bump in the night, per se, but a hum. A mysterious, constant, and very low frequency noise. If so, you may be one of an estimated 2% of the global population that can hear the hum. The hum is the name given to an ominous and very mysterious deep rumbling noise that can reportedly be heard by thousands of individuals across the globe. It apparently sounds like a very low-pitched rumbling sound, kind of like a diesel engine truck idling in the distance. But no matter how hard people search, no one has been able to locate the source of the sound. It sounds like it's coming from all directions equally. Some say it even comes from the sky. This is a recording of the hum made in Taos, New Mexico. For some, the hum causes headaches and nosebleeds. It drives others completely insane, with at least one suicide being attributed to the hum. It's usually heard in specific towns around the globe for several months or years before it disappears. And for some people, it never goes away. The first documented occurrence of the hum was in Bristol in the UK in the 1970s. A local newspaper asked Bristol City residents, "Have you heard the hum?" And over 800 people said they had. Since then, residents from hundreds of towns and cities from all over the world have reported hearing the hum and always described the sound in a similar manner. Some of the more notable locations, where up to 12% of the population have heard the noise, are Taos, New Mexico, Largs in Scotland, and Auckland, New Zealand. Reports of the hum have become so great that a website has been created where people can report their experience with the hum, and you can view a map of all of the reported cases across the world. The hum has even been linked to terrorism. In 2013, Aaron Alexis shot and killed 12 innocent people at the Washington DC Navy Yard. Police later found the following message on his computer. "Ultra-low frequency attack is what I've been subjected to for the last 3 months, and to be perfectly honest, that is what has driven me to this." This and other evidence led conspiracy theorists to conclude that the hum is a government attack or experiment being used on citizens to alter their state of mind. They believe the government generates the hum using satellites, whilst others say the HAARP project in Alaska is to blame. But Illuminati and lizardmen aside, has science been able to find a reason for the hum? What is the cause? Have animals learned how to hum and are playing a gigantic practical joke on us puny humans? Is God bored? Or is it just tinnitus? The hum is most commonly heard by people aged between 55 and 70. So one instantly thinks it's the medical condition tinnitus. You know how your granny is always complaining about a ringing noise that isn't actually there, except for that one time you turned her hearing aid up to maximum. That was pretty bad of you. But if the cause is tinnitus, shouldn't the spread of people who've reported hearing the hum be evenly distributed across the globe? After all, tinnitus doesn't favour certain regions, but the hum is usually reported by clusters of people around specific locations. Also, new research carried out recently in Cambridge, England, suggests that the source of the hum is external, not internal, which is what hum sufferers have always argued. People have also blamed the following things for causing the hum: traffic, local factories and heavy machinery, leaking pipes, phone masts, wind farms, submarine communication systems, UFOs, and even mating fish. Hundreds of Southampton residents who could hear the hum were told it was being caused by a school of mating midshipman fish, who make this eerie sound to try to attract a female. Okay, that single incident with the horny fish could have been a genuine cause of the hum, but the other potential causes have mostly been disproven. However, new research has suggested that microseismic activity from ocean waves impacting the seabed causes our planet itself to vibrate in certain areas around the globe, causing a low-frequency droning sound. Researchers say that this sound is such a low frequency that only a small percentage of the population would be able to hear it. This ocean-based answer also explains why the hum is more commonly heard in coastal towns. So, for some, this answer has finally settled their lifelong quest to locate the source of their annoying, ear-penetrating friend. But for other hum sufferers who disbelieve this explanation, their search continues. Thanks for watching. You'll probably pass by and think nothing more about it. But this is the smallest town in all of America, with a grand population of just one. There are hidden oil wells all over Los Angeles. These secret oil wells are hidden right in plain sight. Some are next to schools and shopping malls.
Folks, it is external, not internal. And that's what it sounds like. This is the classic Om from the Hindus, the Jains, the Buddhists, you know, the sacred sound. That's sort of what it sounds like, what I'm hearing out here, and it is external. It reminded me of the extra low frequency or ELF waves that Bill Cooper used to talk about. Now, remember what we heard earlier in the show from Stephen Jacobson and his Mind Control in America? Any repeating light or sound pattern can produce an altered state. May I add a highly suggestible and receptive state of mind. So I don't know what it is, but the thing I'm hearing kind of sounds like this. And I don't know what it is. Now it's time, folks, to keep moving because I've got a lot to cover, and it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. And here it is.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, I know a lot of people in my family and close friends, they wonder why I am the way I am. Now, Sister Kathy and I, we've known each other for over 10 years. She was the producer on Tribulation Now. She's become a dear friend. She's the best researcher I've ever met. And she has a very, very good spiritual gift of discernment. So we've been emailing a lot this week. And we were sharing our own observations concerning modern society and the prison planet that we're all on right now. Now, our emails were broad and diverse from all signs of the time. We covered it all. From the unreported La Palma eruptions, and folks, do you even know what's going on over there, to the weather control and the geoengineering. Now, once you have your eyes wide open, or you've pierced Harkin's eight veils and can see it all, it's a completely different world that you're looking at. Now, in one of our exchanges, Kathy wrote, I also add this Titanic scam. She's referring to the sinking of the Titanic. And, you know, there were actually two sister ships. And there's strong evidence out there that it wasn't actually the Titanic that sunk, but the sister ship. And there was a plot or conspiracy there to wipe out all the people, all the moneyed people who were against the Federal Reserve Act and what was happening in Congress back in the United States right then. And then we had the electrification of the world, the slow kill, so to speak, in the mid-1800s or earlier. And Kathy thinks they knew what it would do, you know, electromagnetic radiation and electromagnetic poisoning. And then she's reading, as she wrote this, just today with Big Pharma. They want the big business model to wealth. It serves Satan and his plans. And it's far worse than we think. But they all go along for the money and the fame, et cetera, et cetera. And then after electrification and the slow road to crippling humanity from being able to fend for itself in terms of foods and the basics of survival, then the lying to the public and the government education and the bankers, the elite who serve Satan. And we know they do. We heard from from Father Malachi Martin last week. They pull in and set up standards of control in the economy. And so much more. All tentacles of an octopus. Sick, sick, sick. But all you have to do is look in the Bible. And if you look in the Bible, you should have seen that it was all there. And if you look up with the rapture in mind, it makes sense. There's no other way. And then I replied to her, Kathy, we truly are spirit beings merely having a physical experience. And for the saved, this is the worst taste of hell that we'll ever experience. And for the unsaved, the only glimpse of heaven that they'll ever see. What an enigma, isn't it? It's bittersweet. And by that, I mean, I can see the salvation plan of God and all the good souls who tried to show me the way all the way back into my youth and all I did to reject their help along the way. And don't even get me started on romance. What a snare of Satan. And folks, I've been saying that for years. You know, modern romance, it's a lie. You know, the attractive woman who sends me her vibes, and then I start lusting after her, and come on, what red-blooded male hasn't had that happen to him? Now, I'm not proud of admitting that. I'm just telling you the truth. And I'm just trying to be honest here. But now when I sense an attractive woman doing her vibe thing on me, I can see the snare. You know, it's everything that Jonathan Kleck talks about with regard to the insects and the yin-yang and the Vatican Basilica and the lesser God stuff, you know. It actually makes my stomach sick now. Now, I don't know if any of this makes any sense to you folks. If not, you probably haven't pierced Harkin's eight veils yet. So just ask the Lord to give you spiritual sight and light. And by the way, folks, you need both to see into this realm. And then praise the Lord once you've seen the light. Now, if you want more information on this, go back to SDG 445 to understand what I'm talking about and how you can see through all of Harkin's eight veils. Now, I've been saying this about this snare of our emotions and romance for years. And then I stumble on this article from henrymckyle.com, which is titled Romance is the Biggest PSYOP of All. And what I'd like to do is pick up on that next week in Ken's Corner and keep moving. And right now, folks, it's time for Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So let's wind the clock back, way back to the 1960s. In fact, let's take it back to, I think it was 1962, when Dr. Schwitzengeibel's machine was first coined. Now, it's an electronic device capable of tracking a wearer's location and transmitting information about their activities and communicating with them and perhaps even modifying his behavior. Now, all the normies say, well, this is the ankle bracelet that people wear when convicted and under house arrest. In fact, there's even a Harvard Law Journal article out on this. But, you know, folks, think about it for a minute. Do you believe that's what the Schwitzengeibel machine actually is? Can you think of anything that fits the bill even better than an ankle bracelet? How about that black mirror you have in your pocket, folks? You know, your smartphone, your iPhone. Think about it, especially now with these vaccine passports. You know, I have to continually go into my iPhone and shut off the tracking program they're using now to make COVID connections turning on. And if you still don't believe me, what I'd like to do is play this clip from a gentleman named Jay Dyer, who is actually saying it's the Schwitzengeibel machine. Listen to Jay Dyer. This is a short 23-second clip.
And if you have followed my work over the years, you know I covered the Schwitzgebel machine, and it's actually listed in this essay's list of projects and programs related to MKUltra, which I didn't expect. A lot of people are not aware of the Schwitzgebel machine, which is really the iPhone. It's really the cell phone. It's really the tracking device biofeedback loop that we're all now using.
So there you have it, folks. The iPhone, the smartphone, whether you have a Samsung or a Motorola or an Apple, it really doesn't matter. That's the Schwitzgebel machine, and it's used to track you and actually control your behavior. So how do we apply this to today's freaky deaky news? Well, the Apple CEO just signed a secret $275 billion deal with the Chinese Communist Party. So Apple CEO Tim Cook reportedly signed a secret agreement worth more than $275 billion with the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, to help China develop their economy and technology capabilities. This was in the neonatalnews.com. So he signed this five-year agreement with the Chinese government after a series of secret visits back to that country that go all the way back to 2016. And it's to push for a closer alliance with the Chinese Communist Party after they had some bad publicity in China. So Cook personally lobbied with these communist officials over threats made against Apple Pay, iCloud, and his App Store. So what he did is he pledged that Apple will put all their resources into helping the Chinese manufacture and develop the most advanced technologies in the world and support the training of high-quality Chinese talents and use more Chinese suppliers' components and invest in Chinese tech companies as well as assistance from around a dozen Chinese government causes to do what? To make more advanced and better Black Mirrors, more and better advanced Schwitzgebel machines. Now, folks, we've covered a lot of material today. And I'm going to ask you this. What red-pilled person wouldn't be angered by the ignorance of this mass conversion going on all around them? You know, these mind-controlled dupes, these normies, so to speak. And who hasn't lost their cool during a discussion with one of these COVIDian cult members? Perhaps even a family member who refused to invite you over for the holidays because you're unvaxxed? I mean, this is happening right now. It's happening in our families all across the world. And you got to be careful. You got to be careful that you don't lose your cool in this, because that's a snare used by the devil. And that's why it's so crucial to understand that anger is what I'm going to call the go-to tool of our enemy, also known as the prince of this world or Satan, who's also known as Lucifer. So we have to avoid sinful anger. It's the devil's tool to make you and me slip up and sin. And once we sin, we fall. So we've got to be careful here, because there's also a good anger. And last week we learned that bad anger is actually a sinful anger, and we learned how we can avoid the pitfalls of this sinful anger. Remember, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:11 that the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So very quickly, I just want to review what we covered last week concerning these three powerful biblical truths around sinful or damaging or damning anger. You know, last week we learned that sudden outburst of anger must be controlled. You know, that short-fused person, the one who goes off suddenly. And if that's you, folks, be careful. The Bible says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Proverbs 14:17, and a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 15:18. Plus read for yourself Proverbs 25:8 and Proverbs 29:20. So how do we control our anger? Well, the Bible says we must defer anger. But the question is how? Well, last week we learned that first we must confess our anger, and then we've got to consider our anger. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please go back and listen to last week's message. And then after we've confessed it and considered it, then we've got to control it. And by the grace of God that we can't earn, Mike Adams, no, it's a gift freely given to those who repent and trust and then trust and obey. by the grace of God, this sudden anger can be controlled. And then we've got to understand that it's sinful and it has to be condemned, because sinful anger is anger without a cause. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5:22, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of hellfire. So there are serious consequences to this sort of sinful anger, and that's what the enemy right now wants to get us to do. They want us to lash out in sinful anger. And it's usually focused on another person rather than the misdeed. So avoid that, folks. That's the old love the sinner, hate the sin. And we also learned that this sinful anger must be conquered. And I think the best teaching on how to conquer this is over in Ephesians chapter 4. St. Paul gives us this. And last week I said that's a message for another day, so I'd just like to read that passage out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, which reads, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, there are six steps that build up before the sudden outburst of sinful anger. Paul says, first, you get bitter. Then there's a wrath that begins to stir in you, and then an anger that builds, and then a clamor, and then evil speaking, and ultimately malice. And this, folks, is exactly how the devil works to get you and me to sin through this misdirected emotion that we call anger. And I have a teaching out there on that. And if you're interested in it, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll send you the link to that particular teaching. Now, so far we've learned that this sudden anger has to be controlled until we have a chance to think it through, you know? And it's sinful anger that has to be condemned as soon as we understand it's there. And the Bible teaches in Ephesians 4 how stubborn anger can be conquered by recognition, repentance, and what I call repudiation of the devil. You go right to that devil and say, I serve the Lord God. Take it up with him. The Word of God says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. So you have to do that, folks. But like I said, that's an entire teaching for another day. So what I want to leave you with today in this present global crisis that we find ourselves in is how to take our outrage, which we should all have if we're awake and alive and understand the signs of the times, and learn to channel into what the Bible teaches is truly a sanctified anger. In other words, we can take an anger, if it's justified and sanctified, and channel it. So did you know that there was even such a thing as a sanctified anger? Well, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, it reads, and he, that's Jesus, entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Now, so Jesus had anger there, folks. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him on how they might destroy him. So right there, after their pious, pompous attitudes, Jesus was angry, and justifiably so. So there is an anger that's not sinful, because Jesus was angry, yet he sinned not. Jesus was without sin. So now, here was Jesus trying to heal a cripple. And we have all these people trying to heal those afflicted with COVID by ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and some of the other treatments like the Zalewski protocol. If you have that anger, that's a justified anger, but you have to learn how to channel it. So the point is that we can be angry and sin not, just like Jesus was angry and without sin. In other words, there are times and places where we can be good and get mad. In fact, some things don't move us to anger. And they should, like these forced quarantines and all the lockdowns and the lack of treatment and the people being put on respirators, if these things don't move you to anger, then you probably don't know what's going on. Now, these statewide or nationwide vax orders in Germany and Austria, they're wrong, folks. The hunting down of the Aboriginals in Australia and putting the knee of a soldier in their back as another person shoots a poison in their arm, that's wrong. And that's the same sort of thing that angered Jesus in the synagogue that day. It was the attitude of the Pharisee towards the poor and paralyzed man. It's the attitude of these officials today towards these draconian measures that are being taken all around the world that should anger the righteous men and women out there. Here was a man that had a deep need, yet the Pharisees were filled with this selfish pride and arrogance. They were self-seeking and self-serving. Sound familiar, folks? Now, their problem wasn't theological. It was personal. And what Jesus was doing was eating their lunch, so to speak. And that's what we need to do. In a peaceful, yet non-compliant way. So the Pharisees were the ones that everyone looked to in their day. So they were the authorities of the day. And it's just like our public officials today. Yet Jesus comes along and upstages them. And the crowds and the masses marveled. So the Pharisees were rotten with envy. And I'm telling you, folks, if you take this same godly approach to these situations that Jesus took there in the synagogue that day with that crippled man, you're going to have the same impact. Think about it. What motivates a drug dealer? What motivates a pornographer, these power-hungry globalists and their great reset, these control freaks? Well, the very same thing that motivated those Pharisees back then in the time of Jesus, pride and self-serving motives. They don't care about other people. They don't care about how people hurt and suffer. Folks, if this scamdemic was truly about health and not global control, why wouldn't they stop the 5G rollout after each COVID hotspot back in 2020 in places like New York City, Wuhan, China, Milan, Italy, all correlated to the launch of 5G? You know, there's a 5G pilot site out there that you can follow, and you'll see where the 5G are popping up, all the 5G hotspots. And it was strange, but in 2020, they correlated directly one-to-one to all the COVID hotspots. Or why, after 20,000 reported deaths from these mRNA jabs, haven't they halted these mass vaccination programs? It's because they don't care about public health. They have another agenda, folks. And we, the people, need to wake up and see this. Or how about after promising to stay home for 15 days just to flatten the curve? Or how many times have we heard things will get back to normal after 70% are vaccinated? How's that working out? Or how about when you hear Gates admit that the mRNA jabs aren't working? Listen to this.
And I would expect that will lead the R&D budgets to be focused on things we didn't have today. You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccines. We didn't.
Then they're not a vaccine, Mr. Gates. Or how about Fauci admitting essentially the same thing?
Point number three, we are seeing something that is really interesting, and I'd like to get a little bit more of unpacking of it with you in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is we're starting to see waning immunity against infection and waning immunity in the beginning aspect against hospitalization. And if you look at Israel,
mm-hmm.
which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us in the dynamics of the outbreak, in their vaccine response, and in every other element of the outbreak, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death, which is starting to now involve all age groups. It isn't just the elderly.
Mm.
So if one looks back at this, one can say, do you know, it isn't as if a booster is a bonus, but a booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
Folks, the reports coming out of the people in Israel is that their nation has become a police state. They're being forced to be vaccinated. I'm telling you, it's time to show some sanctified anger before it's too late and we lose our freedoms. America is called the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm telling you, to remain free, we must all be brave. Are you brave? You know, the Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, you know, from the Protestant Reformation, he said, when I'm angry, I pray better and I preach better. There was a small preacher named Cheney. He only weighed 120 pounds. He's a very small man. And he said, when I get mad, I weigh a ton. So does any of what I've shared with you today or on any of these broadcasts get you angry? How about the killing of these unborn little babies? Does that get you angry? The point here is, folks, that these wicked, inhumane things ought to be stirring you up, just like they did Jesus. But notice that Jesus never got angry when somebody harmed him. He never did. He never retaliated. Even when they nailed him to the cross, folks. But Jesus was moved by anger, a righteous indignation, when he saw other people being mistreated, used, and abused. And I hope that's stirring in you, folks, because that's a righteous anger. And it should be aimed at the injustice and not the person doing it. So we ought to be getting angry at these sins against humanity, but not at the sinners. And be careful here, because this isn't some sort of fancy talking. We can literally love the sinner, yet still be angry at the sin. And how do I know? Well, I get angry at myself all the time, and I still love myself. And get this, the reason we still love ourselves is exactly why we get angry at ourselves. Think about it for a minute. It was the same love that motivated the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes anger is love's clearest expression. Now, stay with me here. And we need to be careful here, because this righteous anger, this godly anger, is not getting even with somebody. No, it's not trying to do somebody else harm. It's a righteous indignation that does not sin. So I'm telling you, folks, as you learn to focus your sanctified anger, you need to understand that real godly anger comes at the right time, and it's expressed in the right way, and it's directed against the right things. In other words, righteous anger has to be channeled, and that's what I'm saying here. So, Lord, I pray that don't just talk about these things that are wrong in the world. You just don't reveal them to us, but you give us the guidance and direction to get angry in the right way, to channel our anger, to express it properly about these totalitarian injustices that we see, and then give us the direction and strength to do something about it. I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Folks, I truly believe that there are enough good and godly people in this country that if we all were to get angry in this sanctified and proper way and channel that anger in the right way, we'd kick these bums out of Washington and the banks and the media and Big Pharma and the WHO and the CDC and the FDA, and we'd take our country back. Amen? And by the way, I believe this is exactly what happened back in 2016 with the election of President Trump. But then the pandemic hit in 2020, and we let our guard down. Now, be careful here, folks, okay? Be careful here, because I'm not trying to stir you up to act ugly. I'm trying to stir you up to act Christian and in a righteous and godly way. So don't listen to what I'm saying here and stand behind me and say, "Bro Ken, go do something." Don't. You need to get out there and do something. I encourage you to share these messages. I'm seeing the numbers come up, folks. We need to share this. So if you can't do anything else, share this link with a few other people and get them to listen and ask them to share it with their friends. And you know what? If we all get righteously indignant, it's worth more than all the laws on the book. Because when we get stirred up about what's happening and we get angry at the right time for the right reason and against the right thing in the right way, we can make our country a better place as we occupy until Jesus returns. So remember, sudden anger has to be controlled, folks, and sinful anger needs to be condemned. And that stubborn anger, it has to be conquered. And then sanctified anger, channel it in the right way. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, he's going to help us when we let the love of God stir us up and take a stand for those who are being harmed by these draconian measures and these deadly jabs. And then remember, in the words of Winston Churchill, folks, never give up, never give up, never, never, never.
Never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, people, I love y'all. Whether you're my friends, my family, my coworkers, or people that just stumbled on this from somebody that you know and love that shared a link, if you're in this battle with me, I love you, folks. And if you're not, I still love you, and I'm praying for you. But remember, that power to do all this comes from the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same Spirit lives in you and me. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my Spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.